Out with the old and in with the new. It's a phrase we sometimes say when we're making a change from something old to something new, like a new car, a new house, a new hairdo. Oh, I should be going like this. Or a new coffee maker, which is what Mary and I got last week. It's one of those fancy, if I say it right, Keurigs. You stick the little thing in there and it does everything for you, except scratch your nose. So if I seem a little giddy than usual, that's why. Along with a little more caffeine in my life, there's also a little more excitement. It's a big old thing, and watching it is cool. Not much in my life going on these days. Just stand there looking at it. Something we should all be excited about today is we're only a few weeks away from the end of this church year and the beginning of a new one. And that means we also begin to hear in our scripture readings today talks of the end times. Those times of tribulation when the sun will be dark and the moon will not give the light, its light, the stars will be falling from the sky, and heavenly powers will be shaken. It's a frightening thought for some people. But for those of us who have the ears to hear, like us, this prophecy here that Jesus speaks to us today is truly good news. With the days growing shorter because of less sunlight, and our lives about to become more hectic, preparing for the coming holidays, yes, they are upon us. I've heard the Christmas music already. Let's not forget the real questions of where are we to find hope in such images of cataclysm and destruction? And where are we to find meaning in words that seem so far from the Jesus who also says, "Come to me, all you who are burdened, and I will give you rest." To answer these, it's helpful to know that the people of Jesus' day heard these same words from Mark's gospel and from the prophet Daniel quite differently than we do today. And to them, the message of God's powerful and very present love for his people came across very clearly. As strange and, to use a 60s phrase, far out, as these images of the end of the world may be to us, for the people of Jesus' time, this kind of apocalyptic writing was just one of the many styles of writing they were used to hearing from the Word of God, along with their own history and the prophets and the Psalms and the Proverbs. And so to them, the idea of the world coming to an end, it was something to be expected. They were looking forward to it. With trepidation, no doubt, but far more important and encouraging to them was to hear that when the end does come, God will protect his people and gather them together from the far corners of the earth. To them, the lines were clearly drawn. The forces of good and evil were at play. They recognized that. Political correctness wasn't a problem for them. To them, it was all as clear as night and day, and they lived their lives according to that. And as these words that they heard from Jesus, as they heard these words from Jesus, it didn't cause them or prompt them to choose sides and hunker down somewhere. Instead, it caused them to remain steadfast, trusting in the promise that despite all the confusion and the anxiety that seemed at times so overwhelming, the mercy of God will overcome the darkness. A darkness that in different ways, yes, touches even our lives today. The great battle that wages between good and evil, it's already been won. And so what's left for us is to trust that the same promise and the one who continues to speak that promise to us we will continue to believe this, and our lives will reflect that. It will be a witness to that. Maybe if we were writing the Gospels today, we might use maybe a different set of images than the ones we hear here in the Gospels and in Daniel. But the call to this deep faith and trust that Jesus calls us today, it really does require the grabbing power of these vivid images, bold characters, and great drama. Now, it's no coincidence, I think, that the book of Daniel and the Gospel of Mark, they were both written during times when the community of believers experienced a pretty good bit of persecution, especially in the Daniel's time. It was when to be a Jew or a Christian meant putting your faith in God, when confessing that faith publicly might just put you to death. People facing such danger, like these people here, they need to tell one another stories, stories of faith that call one another to the courage of faith. These were stories where the lines are clear and where the ending is known. Good does triumph over evil. Today in this country, thankfully, the persecution is not near as intense as it was back then or in other places. But as a nation, we do face an uncertain world of violence and danger, as the recent tragic and senseless acts in Paris and in many other places around the globe prove. And like the people of Jesus' time, we must look to our stories of faith to give us courage and to call us to do what is right, even if we are tempted to choose sides and hunker down. Last week, we remembered our veterans and the many sacrifices they made in the various global struggles of our time and other times that brought triumph over evil. Remembering these times, like these, in our nation's past and even in the present, should help us to see more deeply into the words of the gospel and to find the message of hope that Jesus speaks to all of us today, the same message that he spoke to his disciples centuries ago. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. If not heaven and earth, at least not today, then our own individual worlds, the worlds that we build for ourselves and our families to live our lives in, with some degree of security and normalcy, these at times are shaken. Those who have lost someone dear to them, those who were diagnosed with an illness on what was supposed to be a regular checkup, those who suddenly find themselves without a job and a family to take care of, their worlds are shaken. We put so much effort into maintaining these worlds of our own for our own peace of mind and for others, and then we realize they're never quite as stable as we would like them to be. Yet hearing Jesus' words this morning, we also realize that's okay, and it's probably pretty normal. For holding us up is the one who will gather all of us someday, maybe soon, from the four winds and from the end of the earth to the end of the sky. And even when our worlds do fall apart, and sooner or later, to a greater or lesser degree, they always do, let's remember the God that we worship is Lord of all, and he's not left us to our own devices. But he is intimately and powerfully God with us, our Eucharistic Lord, our Prince of Peace. And that, brothers and sisters, is good news.